You're listening to the North Peace Roundtable podcast, your weekly podcast about theology and the Christian life. Yay! Woohoo! Episode 167.
There was a lot of emphasis in your intro that time.
I'm feeling good today.
Had enough coffee?
It's a good day. I've got a little espresso here.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, so I'm just buzzing. But good. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Andrew, and with me as always is Corland.
Hello, hello.
And Cameron.
Hello, everyone.
Cameron brings our voice octaves down a whole...
Sorry, I don't know how to fix it.
No, it's manly. It makes it sound more manly.
Oh, good.
Because I'm like, oh, theology! And then you're like, let's keep it down here, folks.
Oh, man. I don't know what to do.
I can tell you this. I remember before going through puberty, every time I would answer the phone, people would be like, oh, hey, Barb, which is my mom. Because I just...
I'm not my mom!
Yeah, and then I remember the first time. I honestly, it's like burned in my brain when I answered the phone, and they were just like, I think they said Rick, like my dad. I'm like, oh, I finally made it. I sound like a man.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. I'll go get him.
That's funny. Yeah. I don't remember.
Anyways, you don't remember? You came out sounding like
That's
that.
That's right. Wah. With a long pipe.
Yeah, yeah.
You're crying and
hey,
wah.
Mom, nice to meet you. Yeah. Wah.
That's me.
How was your guys' weeks?
It's been really good.
Maisie's sleeping through the night or what?
No, not yet. She is doing quite well. She is starting...
she your easiest child so far? I guess we should ask Aaron that.
I think probably. When we had Gemma, we thought she was like super easy, super like chill and nonchalant. And then we had Kendrin and he slept even better. But like Maisie, she barely jumps. Like, you know how like babies, if you like make a loud noise or something, they like startle and their arms shoot out and it's cute. She does that on occasion. Like, she basically just sleeps. And if she's awake, she kind of just sits there. And she's
kid shell shocked.
Yeah.
She's just like, what is happening?
She's been hearing the war between the other two for 9 months already. So
I just say, I loved when... was it this weekend? You're walking out with Kendrin, and he's like, bye, Mom, during the service.
So our kids did super well, and I need to remember that because I was actually really frustrated with him when I took him out.
He's done that before.
It was so, but it was like quiet moment. Well, bye, Mom.
Yeah. I was super frustrated with him. He had been super good. There was like 5 minutes left in your sermon. I actually didn't realize how well he had done until after, when Aaron was like, he did really good. Like, you were only out there 5 minutes. I was like, oh, that's true.
Right. Okay. I got it.
So yeah, I like frustrated, picked him up, went to hike him out. And it was like a statement. It was like, you're coming with me, son. And then as I walk out of the pew, yeah, perfect quiet moment. He's like, bye, Mom. Bye, Mom. Bye, Mom. And I was like, oh my goodness. Great. Sorry if that's
loud.
I'll
be back here.
Oh, I'm getting carried out.
Which honestly, it was kind of good. Cause as soon as he did that, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. You're excused. That was pretty cute.
Yeah. That's, yeah. Anyways,
that's him though. He will drive you up the wall and then he'll come over and be like, hi, Maisie Jane. And like come and want to kiss her. And you're like, all right, you're cute.
Okay. You're cute. We'll keep you.
We'll keep you.
Oh man. Well, we got a couple good questions today sent in by Cameron.
Yay. You know that like fake kids cheering?
Yeah, I want one of those like
soundboard.
Yeah, that's it. And you press the buttons and it goes like womp.
You
womp,
can have it, not
womp.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. Unpacking last week's sermon. It was mentioned that we should not be surprised when the world hates us for our faith, that we may even come to expect it. But to what degree should we not engage or push back on mistruths or lies that are spread about us? How far should we go in clearing our name before we decide that this may be the will of God? So if you missed last week's sermon, shame. No,
I feel bad because I actually did. I was.
Yeah. So basically, it's the passage where Paul finally gets arrested in Jerusalem. And this question comes from the Jews who hate him are all yelling things that aren't really true, or they're like half true. Hey, this is the guy that is teaching people everywhere that against the law and against the Jews and against the temple and all of these things that are like, okay, it's maybe half true. Paul's teaching that you can't be saved through the law, but he doesn't hate the law, or he doesn't hate his people. And so then, some of the application was, well, hey, if you're a follower of Jesus, there's going to be people probably who will misrepresent or even attack you.
Yeah.
So then that's a great question, Cameron. Like, do you just take it on the chin, or is there any time where you like, no, I'm going to like fight back against that lie that's being said about me, or like, I don't know. How do you handle that?
I'm curious, maybe one step closer, like where has there been stuff recently that's caused you to think more about that? Or like, why did that portion of the sermon stand out?
Don't use names.
Yeah. No, I think that I actually have a thought that says you don't have to just take everything on the chin, because I think there's examples of that, but I don't think there was anything particular about that thought process as of recent. I think in the last 10 years, you just watch any kind of news and you can see people having a faith position and then being really pushed back on. And then I question each side, like, is that faith position something that we see biblically? Does having that biblical truth and sharing it, is it done in a way that meets all the filters of Scripture? I've not seen a great example of that either. Like, it's nice to see someone standing firm in their faith, but then I've actually leaned on, like, bro, like, or, you know, was that the best medium for that? Like, maybe and maybe not. So I was just kind of thinking about that after the sermon, because I think you answered it in part through the sermon, in the one example where Paul, having about to been flogged, throws a question in there that does knowingly pause the process,
right?
And actually causes his oppressors to rethink their position. And it's kind of like cunning and smart, also probably a little cheeky, tongue in cheek. So I think there's an element of that, but ultimately they do end up killing him, but there's this process. So I was kind of bouncing that around this week.
Yeah. Like, so if you miss the sermon, basically, Paul's arrested by the Romans, and then they're like, we're going to examine you by flogging, meaning like, we're going to get the truth out of you by whipping you. And at just the right moment, Paul, very respectfully, is like, oh, is it legal to flog a Roman citizen? Because he is one. And they're like, oh, whoa. It's not like he's just like, well, I can't defend myself, I'll just take my beatings. And even in the passage this week that we're going to study, Paul is brought before the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish council. And he actually, I think, lets his temper get the best of him. Because the high priest orders him to be hit in the mouth. And then he says, like, you whitewashed wall, blah, blah, blah. And someone's like, you're going to talk to the high priest like that? And he's like, okay, sorry, I didn't know he was the high priest. But then it says that Paul perceived that some of them were Sadducees and some were Pharisees.
Right.
And then he totally pits them against each other, which is kind of funny.
Genius.
He's like, guys, I'm a Pharisee and I'm here because of the resurrection. Because Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection and Pharisees do. And then it says that they start fighting and they're like, we don't know what to do with Paul.
Yeah. I think there's also, I think we are somewhat responsible to a degree for the way people perceive us also as Christians. I think we can have a very strong moral position and conviction and share that and still not be antagonists and still not like,
totally
actively pursue folks to be in opposition to our conviction.
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Yep.
I think back to, I may have shared it in years past, a person who came out of the closet to me and told me that they were living a gay lifestyle and kind of said, like, what do you think about it? I'm like, I don't know. Like, it's not like that's that whole conversation we had before of like, yeah, man, yeah, your conviction is not mine. Obviously, I'm not going to hold you to the degree of my conviction, but it didn't impact our working relationship at all. So like, I don't think he was super impressed with my position, but I didn't feel like releasing it. And I didn't feel like putting him on a pedestal and like degrading him for his position either. Like,
right.
So I don't know. Like, I think I could have made a moral stance and had him like really frustrated with my position, but it didn't feel necessary. But I could have left there having ruined that relationship, and then he would have been spreading his truths about me, saying he's, you know, very opinionated or bigoted or all of these things.
Yeah.
And then would I have been responsible for that, or would that have been, oh, that's my cross, that's my burden to bear? It's like, well, you might have been a jerk. So I don't know where that tension lies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, is there a difference between how we handle this with other believers and like unbelievers? I think there's a difference. I think if like an unbeliever, sorry, I think if a believer, so someone in your church, let's say, is spreading lies about you, I think Matthew 18 would tell us, like, because Jesus says, if your brother sins against you, go and confront him. Like, I think there's a, I don't know, like a precedent set that, hey, if it's like someone who's a part of the family of God. So let's just example, like Corlin sure. starts going around being like, hey, I don't know, Andrew does this or whatever. And it's like, wait, that's not true. I don't think that's a case where you're like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to make a big deal about it. I think actually we're supposed to like, hey, Corlin, you're my brother in Christ. Matthew 18 would say like, hey, I'm supposed to confront you one-on-one and say, hey, you're sinning against me, and try and have reconciliation. But I think it's different for someone who's not a believer and, you know, who posts a Google review about our church saying like, hey, these people are oppressing women. I'm like, do I have a responsibility to like go correct that? I don't know. Is there a difference between like someone in the world who's like, that guy's a bigot. Okay. Do I have to go like defend myself, or is it just like, yeah, it is what it is?
I thought about it around hiring practices. If we were to be,
you would, HR guy.
Well, we have these postings out right now for pastoral roles, right?
Yes.
So if a person applied who was a non-Christian, and it may sound crazy, but it's not necessarily, and then we didn't entertain the application because they're not of the same faith, and if they took us to court, I don't think we would say, tell us what the settlement is, we'll pay it. I feel like we'd have to go there and defend our position and not, to a degree, and not necessarily stop. But that, as I say that, I think back to our COVID fiasco days where it's like, you know, spend all the money on fines and push back on the government. Like, I don't think that would have been wise either. So I think there's a lot of wisdom involved in how much we engage.
Yeah, I think that it really can just depend on the scenario. Because there are stories of both. Like you mentioned Paul's story where it's like, hey, is it legal to do this to a Roman citizen? And it puts, he hits the chink in their armor and makes it so it stops. It's like, whoa, hold on. He might be right here.
Yeah.
But then I've also heard stories where Christians are brutally persecuted.
Yeah.
And they felt a sense of peace of just letting it happen and resting in that God was sovereign in it and doing what his, like he was going to bring forward his purposes through it happening.
Yep.
And then through them not fighting back, there was gang members that were there that night that came back like 5 years later and were like, you were different. I never hit someone that just let me, like what happened there? And then came to know Christ because of their actions there. So I really don't think you can give a cookie cutter answer to this specific thing. I think probably what would be on people's mind when we start talking about this is maybe not those kinds of scenarios, though. I think it would probably be more so because it's the hot topic in our culture right now and the political climate of like government reaching into our lives and affecting how we in North America have been used to living as Christians. I think that would probably be what people's minds would go to, is like, where is the right point to make a stand? How do you make a stand if you make a stand? Do we just bend over backwards and let them do whatever they want kind of thing? That's where I would think their minds would go, because that's the politically hot topic right now. I don't know. What do you guys think? That's true? That's where the conversation would lead?
I think
to,
it's,
or?
For me, in the context that we live in, I think it's probably less like, I'm about to be whipped and I'll just take my beatings. Like, that is totally exists in other parts of the world. And I don't think we're quite there yet en masse, like in North America.
Yep.
I think it's more like
tax exemptions.
Well, that, churches. But even like if we think about, okay, how to defending myself, I think it's more like, hey, this person's like slandering me. I honestly think a lot of it's like online. Hey, I saw a post that, and you sent me one on Monday, that someone was kind of saying stuff that, not, it wasn't directly aimed at our church, but kind of. Mm-hmm. And you're like, do I hop on and leave a comment and be like, oh, that's not true? I think that's more so what I was thinking, not like, hey, there's an anti-Christian gang who's going to come to my house and burn it down. Like, it's more like, hey, people are slandering me or saying things that aren't true. How far do I have to go to like clear my name, or do I just whatever? It is what it is. And I think the online thing is where I see a lot of that. Someone will post a thing about like, let's just use a random example. Okay, North Peace MB Church is like this, or Pastor Andrew's a bigot online. Do I need to like hop on and leave a comment and be like, no, I'm not. Stop lying about me. That's kind of where my mind went.
Sure, yeah.
As someone who doesn't have, like, I use the internet, I use YouTube, but like, I don't have any social media profiles.
Man, your life is probably so much better.
I think that probably affects my decision or like my opinion on that. Cause honestly, social media stuff, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, if you're willing to type it out, that's great. But I find the lines blur quite often for what people would post online versus what they'd actually do or say in person.
Yeah,
and sure. So if somebody's posting a really mean thing online, there are some people that would let that carry over into their personal lives and how they live that out. But there's also a lot of people that they wouldn't. So to me, an angry post online about it and participating in the rhetoric that they're spreading, I find not to be super helpful. Like, I've always thought it's kind of funny when somebody leaves a Google review on a company and it's like this big, long, mean, I hate this company, they did all these things to me. And then the company will respond as like the official company. And it's like, we're sorry you had that experience with us. Please reach out to us and we'll rectify it. And then nobody knows what happens from there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. So like sometimes like I've heard of stories where companies have actually rectified what happened, and good on them for that.
Yeah.
But like in your scenario, if somebody's slandering the church, I wonder sometimes if there's an element to like, if the church is actually living out what it wants to do, which is Christ's commission to go and make disciples and to love others as we love Christ. Sometimes I wonder if those posts can be in essence deleted by simply continuing to live out that commission.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that you have to have a response other than, well, you continue on. Cause if one person says it and everybody around them looks at them and it's like, yeah, but I haven't experienced that there. I haven't seen that. I don't think that's true because of XYZ. Well then,
yeah.
What extra benefit is it to the kingdom of God to post a, well, that's actually not what happened. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think we saw that. Well, a couple passages that I thought of. I think too, I think the depends on your motivation. Like when I hear or see things online that people say about me, sometimes my motivation is like bad.
I'd post something nice about you online if I could. But
I'm going to justify myself and I'm going to get this person back and they're going to pay for what they said. I think that's sinful, that motivation. Because like, I think of 1 Peter 2, the example of Jesus, and it says that Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you would follow in his steps, which I'm like, dang it, that's hard. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. So the example we have of Jesus, when people were saying terrible things about him, he didn't revile back. He just left. Okay, God's going to judge them.
Yeah.
And that's similar to what Paul says in Romans 12, like, beloved, never avenge yourselves so far as it depends on you. That's the first verse. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So I think part of it too is like, if my motivation is, hey, this person left a nasty comment online, and like, if my motivation is like, I'm going to get them back already, that's bad. Like, don't do it for that reason.
Yeah.
I've got a real situation. A couple of years ago, there's a person who was having real difficulties at work with their department and their director, and ultimately said that folks within their work group were being racist and discriminating against this individual.
Hmm.
And so then I was tasked with trying to uncover some resolve. And ultimately, it ended with that person saying I was racist and made a human rights complaint.
The person said that about you?
Yeah, oh, throughout the process. I didn't work with them. I was just called in to help. And I had to sit with lawyers and defend my position. And ultimately wrote a 3-page response, actually saying, now in my capacity as doing my job, I'm being targeted for something that's untrue, which could have impact in our community, just being, if this were to be released, because these are public documents at that, they could be public documents if they went further.
Right.
And so then ultimately I had to put a defense there, and it was supported by the law firm, who then a lawyer took over. And ultimately, that person, the lawyer, was targeted as being as being racist and discriminating.
It's like everyone who gets involved is racist.
Yeah, and so it was a real weird time, right? Yeah. And I had some vacation at that point, and then someone called me saying that they were no longer in the picture, and that was fine. And I just remember thinking, yeah, I've seen this person around the community. It's like no harm, no foul. I don't know anything about them, so there's not like an anger, but it's almost more of a understanding of their desperate and sad position. So it's not like I felt like, oh, I want to get him back even more. It's like, okay, no, you don't get to say that about people. Like, that could actually have some impacts. And so I think that would be the difference. And it's interesting hearing those verses, because I don't know. Like, I don't even know if I was in a position to not respond to
something. Yeah, you almost had to. Well, you had to.
To a degree. Yeah. Or that would be like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. So
is a response vengeance, though?
No.
Like, I think it can be, like what we've said. But I think that a defense of yourself, of your intentions, of your character, I think that those are normal human interactions that are necessary for any form of society. Because if it's not, then we become like God and just enact justice in our own ways.
No, I think vengeance is like, I'm going to make you pay.
Yeah.
You're right. Right.
So I think the idea of I'm just going to, this is my side of the story. I think that's not, this is, it's like, I don't have any ill will towards you, but I'm just going to try and clear things up. I think that's different than like,
maybe this will land. Maybe this is way too silly for the topic that we're talking about.
Well, I think the difference is the
Uno reverse card is vengeance. Yeah. It's like someone's like, pick up four. You're like Uno reverse.
So I had to put my position, but I did feel compelled to like write that letter saying like, actually what is happening here is wrong. And like almost file a counter complaint saying,
yeah,
I don't have to come to work and be accused of something that's wrong.
Yeah, it's such a fine line, I think, because we're told to love justice.
Yeah.
And I think if injustice is happening, I don't think we're just like, well,
right,
whatever, we'll, right? We'll, I think there's a, but then again, it's so, it's like motivations. Like, so even I remember when we were going through 1 Corinthians, and you get to the passage where it's like, hey, believers, you shouldn't sue other believers.
Yeah.
I got so many phone calls, emails going, okay, but this person, it was from a lot of business owners who were like, I did a job for them. They're refusing to pay. And it's like, we're talking like $20,000 of work that I've done. And they're like, I'm not going to pay. And they were saying, okay, the Christ like thing. Do I just say, okay, I guess not. Do I just take it on the chin, or do I do what everyone else is saying, like take them to court, and they're believers and they're refusing to pay me. What do I do? So I think there's a fine line between like, I'm going to get you, and you know what? I'm taking you to court, and now I'm going to sue you for $500,000 for blah, 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 blah. Or just saying, no, justice needs to happen. And yet, you know, you read those passages and God's like, hey, justice is mine. I'll repay for what's done. But I don't know. There's these kind of gray areas where, okay, then we're just doormats, and now no one's going to pay me anymore because, hey, they're the company that doesn't take you to court and make you pay. Sweet. And I'm like, yeah, I get it. It's complicated.
Yeah.
So I'm like, how do you honor Jesus? I think a lot of it comes down to the heart. Like, if someone, for a business owner, is it revenge? I'm going to get you. Or you're like, no, this is not wrong, and I want you to pay for the work that I've done. Like, I think a lot of it comes down to the heart issue, I guess.
Yeah. And how we position ourselves in the community. As you're speaking, I was thinking of like those, There's some Christian groups who will protest outside abortion clinics.
Sure.
Pretty harshly, but their message is right and their conviction is proper. But I always thought to myself, how come they're not like with a lineup of adoptive parents just waiting, right? Like, hey,
yep,
you made that terrible mistake. Let's keep that baby alive.
Yep.
We got a lineup of families right here, right?
Yep.
I think that is the same message, but completely different positioning.
Right.
I don't know why I thought of that. Kind of a weird turn. But but I guess I was thinking about, you know, there's been people in our church living alternate lifestyles and who maybe not come anymore, but it wasn't because they're angry at you. I think they respected you enough to know your position and
sure.
didn't get like volatile because you were never volatile in those relationships, but the conviction of the position still remains.
Yeah.
And so naturally they leave, which is sad, but better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can expect pushback when it comes to our belief. Not necessarily just like a personal defamation or like a money issue, but like when it comes to our belief as Christians, there will be people that disagree with us.
Totally.
There will be people within your own congregation that disagree with you. There will be people that, you know, all these things. I think a lot of that is being willing to recognize where matters are a matter that's adiaphora. Like it's debatable.
Yep.
It's not a salvation issue. Versus something where it's like, no, that's actually big enough that we need to have that talked through and hashed out. And then there might be hurt feelings about it. I think that it's pretty human to feel like a woe is me position, no matter what happens in life. And so to make sure that you're checking your own heart in those matters, I think is a good step to make sure that you're not just posturing yourself as a victim.
Yep.
When you're not necessarily, because even like I've caught myself doing that in my life where it's like, well, they just thought this and this, and it was just all this against me. And then when, as time goes on and as you process stuff, it's like, yeah, that actually probably wasn't an accurate perspective on that situation. Like you got to consider the, like there's two sides to that coin, right?
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. So I think anytime like someone has said something about me or you get wind of like,
yeah,
I think the first thing you should do is say like, okay, is it true? Rather than immediately get defensive.
Yeah. Mm.
Like just be like self-reflect a little bit. Okay, this person's saying this about me. Okay, is it true?
Yeah.
Like, am I that thing? Right?
Yeah.
I think that's healthy. You know, if someone says, you know, Andrew hates women. This is a random example. I should actually, okay, is what I'm saying, is that actually what's coming across? Oh,
yeah.
No. Like to see if there's truth to it. And then if not, I really do believe then it just depends on, okay, do I need to, is this person who's doing that, like, is this a big enough deal? Is this sinful? Like if they're a brother or sister in the church, then I think we have a responsibility to like address it. Hey, what you're doing is not, it's actually sin. Like we don't want you to sin. Do the Matthew 18 thing. But again, if it's like a community person and and that happens lots online or in, you know, they'll say things. I'm like, I have zero need to defend myself if someone in the community is like, hey, that pastor at the MB church is a bigot. Okay. Like that was during COVID, the one Google review we got. That pastor is teaching women that they have zero rights and they have to obey their husbands like slaves. And I'm like, okay, do I need to respond to this 1-star Google review? No, I actually don't care.
Yeah, at least you got a star.
I got 1 star. So, but I think there's just a difference and it's just using discernment going like, I really don't need to, it doesn't bother me because I know that it's so outlandish. It's not true.
Yeah.
And you know what? If someone reads that and they're actually swayed by that, if someone actually reads Google reviews, I'm like, well, whatever. Yeah. Like,
I actually just recently ran into a scenario where I was talking with a young man who wasn't super impressed with another Christian's behavior. And in hearing the behavior and the stories from this gentleman's perspective, recognizing that there's two sides to the coin and all that fun stuff that we talked about already, I would agree with the guy. I'm like, I don't think that Christian's behavior was actually, if what you're saying is an accurate depiction of it, don't think it's actually a biblical way to act. I don't think along those lines, but it was kind of interesting to throw a defense up and be like what he believes to some extent is going to be offensive because it deals with our offenses. And nobody likes being told, hey, man, you were wrong here.
Yeah.
Our immediate action is to defend.
Yeah.
But then to also be like, what? I also think that what he did was more offensive than need be. Like, I think he brought it up in an offensive way, right? Like, and you can, I think Christians can be careful, kind of like what you talked about earlier, Cameron, where we are responsible for how people perceive us.
Yep.
Right? And so if we come across as rude and ignorant, I think we can actually jeopardize the gospel as looking rude and ignorant instead of something of love. But that doesn't mean that we just are all love and accepting it like the world wants us to be.
Yeah.
Right. So there's nuance. You have to be.
Totally.
Jesus says to his disciples, specifically when he's sending them out to the Jewish people, this is before the Gentiles come into the church. But he says to them, he's like, now look, like I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you are going to have to be as shrewd as serpents and as innocent as doves.
Yeah.
And I think even though that was said to his Jewish followers about going out to other Jews, I think that is applicable to us too. We're sheep following the lamb,
yeah,
being sent out into a den of wolves. But that doesn't mean, like, the shrewdness in my mind when I hear Jesus say that, I instantly think to the serpent in the garden, not saying that we're evil, but that we're wise. We're crafty in a holy sense.
You heard it here, folks.
No.
Voiced.
Oh, there you go.
I can't even I couldn't even say it. God stopped me from making a joke. Continue. Yeah.
So it's the idea that the wisdom, the cunningness isn't necessarily wrong if you're using it innocently, like a dove. Yeah. The serpent in the garden was not innocent like a dove. Yeah. I should make that clarification. I'm not pulling a Brandon Roberts.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
No, I'm but not. No,
I know what
I'm
you're
not saying.
Saying
the serpent was right.
No.
Not what I'm saying by that connection, but what I am saying
shrewdness,
is that
cunning.
Like,
yep.
The serpent was pretty smart to make up the story that he did for Adam and Eve to believe it. The using what knowledge we have and the brains God has given us, I think, is a gift that we have to then move forward in Christlikeness. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at how Jesus responded to some of the Pharisees, like they're trying to trap him to get people angry at him with some of the questions they ask. Like, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answers, like, I can't help but think that some people must have, you know, that cat from, I think it's one of the Shrek movies, and he's like, oh,
ooh.
Like, shoot. I can't help but think that some people probably thought that when Jesus was like, yeah, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And it's like, what?
Ooh,
like, that's not what they were expecting.
Right.
And yet it was perfectly true and innocent.
Yep.
It was a crafty response. It was really good.
Totally.
And I think we as Christians can aspire to be like Christ in that we have a response.
Loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
As long as your neighbor is within your borders.
Oh, good segue. So so just to wrap up the first question, check your heart before you engage with people.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Yeah, because if your motivation is like, I'm going to get even with this person or vengeance, then you're
watch
wrong.
Watch me make this person look like a fool.
Yeah, then you're wrong. But if it's like, no, justice needs to happen and I need to like confront a brother in sin that's living in sin, then I think that's totally fine. So the scenario matters and your motivation behind it matters as well. Second question, so should we just have open borders or... So this was Cam's second question, which is really good. Given the social climate of today, how as Christians should we position ourselves between the camps of closed borders as a means of keeping the law of the land and safety of our families and welcoming the newcomer and the poor, etc.? So I think the climate of the day, yeah, I mean, you look at the States, which I don't know, is more prevalent because they just broadcast everything. But there's that debate, like, let's close the borders, well, kick all of the illegal immigrants out, and we're protecting our own.
So I was not even thinking so much of the States.
Oh, okay.
I was actually thinking of the Canadian climate where anecdotally in Fort St. John, it's like all these immigrants are taking our jobs. There's a flood of them here. They should all go home. there's that, and then there's of course the American position. What was interesting is that I was reflecting on and sharing with the fact that I personally don't need a passport to go to the States. Because I have a status card for being indigenous. So the two governments decided that.
Oh, okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that their war in 1812 shouldn't have impeded my travel. Because as being first peoples, with Europeans coming over and having a war and drawing a border, well, what does your conflict have to do with me? And so generationally, the two countries have agreed I can go land travel between the two countries without a passport, like just as. And so I think that's interesting. But then you look at the South and the Mexican-American border is the exact opposite. Like, let's build a wall. But I can't help but think that the same rationale used in the North must have been the same in the South. If that there are groups of Mexicans before that line was drawn, they probably did do a lot of intertravel also. So I'm not sure how that's any different.
Yeah, wow. That's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah. I didn't know that fact. Huh.
So if you're on a plane, you need a passport because that's a air traffic rule. But just drive. Like when I went to Chicago last year, you just show
your card.
You
drive across and you show your card.
Huh. But then again, I guess the argument you are a documented person. It's the undocumented and those showing up at the borders.
Sure.
But then I'm thinking, like, doesn't that like enact something even further for a Christian as a response?
Yeah, I think like, okay, as a Christian, then how can we do... Right, respect the laws of the land that we live in, but then also, hey, I want to show care and compassion to the widow, the orphan, the stranger among you, but do it in a way that, I don't know, respects the law of the land. But then I think you could get into the whole, but I disagree with the law of the land, and sure, I don't like that Trump's deporting all the people. Like, okay, but for me, I think that's where I would probably land is, okay, should I help people enter Canada illegally because they need help? Probably not, because then I'm also not, like Romans 13, obeying the laws of the land. And yet, like, if there's an illegal immigrant here, should I clothe them and feed them and care for them? Probably.
I'd probably land on the, yeah, aiding and abetting is a little different than someone showing sure. up in your
yes.
in your home group and you found out that they're actually visiting from Mexico and have no intentions to go home. Like, I don't think I'm picking up the phone after home group and calling somebody, like, personally.
Yeah. I just got to go to the bathroom real quick. I'm going to call ICE.
ICE, baby.
Hey, have you seen my phone anywhere?
ICE,
no.
ICE, baby.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know. That's a really...
Well, there was even, like, so there was someone that reached out at... talking about, you know, illegal immigrants and, you know, why are they here and do churches bring immigrants over and the churches are responsible. And I'm like, I don't think churches are involved at all. And we would help with refugees.
Sure.
Right. But not someone who's just like, hey, I want to immigrate to Canada. I don't think we've ever been involved in that. Like 10 years ago, I think we helped, two refugee ladies come over and we sponsored them and they, cause they were in like a crisis situation and then they lived here for a while and it was so cold and then they moved. Right. So, cause they were from an African country, but I'm like, yeah. So even in that scenario, we're trying to help, but we're going through the government programs like to help care for people. And yeah, it's such an interesting, cause I've heard, you know, I've seen Christian people online posting that, you know, Trump deporting illegal immigrants is anti-Christian. Mm. And I'm like, okay, but I don't know. I honestly, I wrestle with it. Like, I'm like, is it though? If they, have they broken a law by coming illegally to a country? Well, kind of. But, you know, should we as Christians support? I don't know.
I'm reading a really interesting book for a anthropology class on, it's from the guy's name's Homo Sacer, and he's an Italian philosopher.
Is that his full name or his last name?
Full name. First name is
Homo.
Yeah, Homo.
Soccer.
Like S-A-C.
Okay, I was like when you the game where you kick the ball around.
No. But he did a lot of research on how governments create laws that allow for the reduction in human value. And
okay, interesting.
Studied Nazi Germany and then other cultures afterwards where government laws are not just implemented with shock value, which is what Trump's doing, but other countries that develop legislation that actually allows us to devalue humans and then feel justified by it.
Hmm.
Nazi Germany being the most extreme example of what they did was legal. It was not illegal to kill all those Jews in Germany. And
by letter of the law, yeah.
But not even like shock value law, by slow integration of legislation.
Right. Yeah.
And then he references other examples in other countries where we have gotten to the point where we've created laws that seem very reasonable. Don't come here unless you have the right pieces of paper. But I was sharing last night, my children are not indigenous because we don't have the right piece of paper because they want reference points from my grandparents who were in residential school and all those records are lost. So it's kind of funny. They'll say, oh, there's a path with the right piece of paper. But if we don't give it to you, then you're not allowed to be here.
Hmm.
And my father-in-law is actually experiencing that now. He lives a few kilometers from the place where he was born, built a house. They took the house away, his country. He's 76 years old. And now they're saying, do a test, which he failed already, or you must leave because you must go to another country. He doesn't belong to any other country than the one he's in. And he failed the first test. It's language proficiency and writing for a language he never grew up in. He's 76 years old. So it's interesting that, but that's legal. Then he would be a legal alien where he was always born because the government established that it was not right for him to be there.
Wow.
So North America has done the same thing, and we've become very, very ingrained in the thought that, well, that person came here by breaking a law. But we're not interested in unpacking the law because it's more comfortable to say, I think they're breaking it, and we don't have to, we're not then engaged, but... With the U.S. being like so wealthy and Canada being so empty, like I struggle with that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the answer is, but.
Yeah. I remember Molly had a conversation because we've got a guy who comes to our church and from Mexican descent and lived in the States. I think he was born in the States. Again, like some of these details might be wrong because I'm trying from memory. But I remember Molly, because he's American, so Molly asked him, what do you think about all these, like, mass deportations? And he said, yeah, like, my brother doesn't have, he was born in the States, but he doesn't have citizenship. And he's, you know, lived his life, never committed a crime in the States, has a job, but he might get deported. And even the guy she was talking to was like, and I'm not sure what to feel about that. Because, yeah, technically, yeah. I mean, but he was born there. So isn't he a citizen if he's born? So I think there is, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
I think it's a kind of complex issue that probably won't be resolved this side of eternity. Because we have power structures, regardless of which side of the political fence you sit on, we have power structures that are incompetent. And not able to actually produce lasting, holistic results.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't strive for it. But I think that for me personally, when I listen to conversations like this or when I am in on them, I can feel overwhelmed of like, well, I don't know what to do. What? How do I change that? But I think you can narrow it down to your own actions, kind of like what we first started on. If you meet someone who needs clothing or food, I don't think as a follower of Christ that your first question should be, can you produce paperwork to show me that you should be here?
Do you have
here?
A passport that I could see?
Can you actually just quickly prove to me that you're supposed to be here?
Totally.
And if not, then you're like, could you actually just go wait outside? I have a pre-built cage for you while I call these people to come, right? Yeah. Like that, I'm hoping if you're listening, that sounds ridiculous because it is. Your first response should be to show them the love of Christ, compassion, and to give them what they're needing if you're able. Now, how you navigate the rest of the scenario, if you find out that they've broken a law that's in your country, then I think there's can be matters of personal conviction in there.
Sorry to interrupt. Good example. Our family paid to smuggle my wife's cousin out of Russia. And we were in full support of trying to organize that. So my sister-in-law hired a company. He's in the back of a trunk of a cab, got out of the country because they were conscripting him to go and fight against Ukraine.
Wow.
Alosha. So we met him in Turkey just now this summer because, like, he's chilling out in places where he can be, but didn't have any conviction hanging out with him. And
yeah,
like, cause, and he illegally left and entered a country illegally because his life was at risk. But
I need to go make a phone call.
So,
bro,
I think that there's going to be things that,
yeah,
like,
well, I think that's
there's going to be tough scenarios.
I think that's a, so tonight in our theology cast, we're talking about the fact that God gives us a conscience, and there's a few places in scripture where it's just like, hey, you need to follow what your conscience tells you, and on debatable matters.
Yeah.
And even sometimes like things that some people might hear what that story and just be like, that was wrong for you to do that. But I think it's a debatable matter, a matter of conscience where you're like, yeah, I can hang out with them and I don't feel like what I did was wrong. Right. Because of extenuating circumstances, like even a fascinating book. So you think about our Mennonite brethren heritage as a church, like we would be people who are against war,
yeah,
against capital punishment, against murder, those kind of things.
Yeah.
But you, I read a biography of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he's a Christian pastor who plotted to murder Hitler. And he said, and his biography is fascinating because he said, like, no, God was the one that told me that this, we should do this. And there's Christians who would go, oh, but my conscience feels like, even though it's Hitler, murder is still wrong. It's a sin.
Yep.
But other Christians who were like, no, that's the right thing. And they actually almost succeeded.
Yeah.
They detonated a bomb in a meeting with Hitler, and it hurt him, but it didn't kill him. But Bonhoeffer was involved in like, let's get the bomb there, let's place it on the table. Da, da, da.
Yep.
And he's a pastor. And I, reading it, is like,
what?
Man, would I do that with like a group of pastors to like murder a dictator? I'm like, oh man. And I honestly was like, I don't know if I could have. I don't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think even like, I'm glad you shared that, Cameron, that like some people may look at that and be like, my conscience, I don't know if I could do that.
Right.
And yours, it was fine to do that, right? Like, I don't know how that has to do with illegal immigration.
Well, he left
matters
and entered a country.
Yes, illegal. Right. Okay, yeah. There it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think for these.
I was also reflecting back on those pictures years ago of the dead baby washing up on shore, because these families in extreme poverty are like trying to cross oceans in rafts to get, not necessarily away from, some, I think there was violence there, but they weren't claiming refugee. Well, they might have been trying, but
yeah.
I couldn't imagine like such extreme poverty and risk and danger to put the kids under each arm and just take a shot at it, right? And then have some, not only a government not welcome me, but maybe Christian groups not welcome me. Like that would be pretty wild. And it's just not our reality. We don't even have a decent vantage point to think about it through because we're so far removed from that reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Our perspective again is literally just one side of a coin. That's it. And so,
but I don't think it means like you necessarily have to say, okay, as a Christian, you just have to believe in open borders.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to get there. And I see Christians getting there because they're like, Jesus was a refugee. He fled to Egypt. I'm like, yeah, for sure. No one's arguing that.
Yeah.
But there's got to be something like, I like the idea of like, yeah, a border is good. And like, it can't just be chaos.
Right.
However, I feel like Christians, we swing to extremes over everything. So it's either like, no passports, no borders. Everyone can come and go. We're all children of God. I'm like, well, In a world with no sin, that'd be awesome. But then you have the other side, and you have Christians who are like, send them back, send them, right? And I'm like, ugh, feels like both maybe are wrong, but it's hard to be, and we were just talking about that. It's hard to be in this middle like gray zone.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to go, no, black or white, your border's open or lock it down. I'm like, well.
Yeah. I think what would be helpful, and I think this is true, like even when you see the Israelites taken out of Egypt by Yahweh, there's integration rules that God implements of like, hey, if they want to be a part of your people, this is what everyone here needs to do. Not just those integrated, but you as well. Like this is going to be a sign that you're a part of this people. And I realize that without any details, that can sound pretty extreme. But I think that there is an element where like there is differences in culture and society between different cultures and societies. But to come and be a part of a new culture, I think there has to be an element of integration.
Well, that's like even when your wife became a citizen, there was things that she had to learn about Canada.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Blood oath. Yeah. But I think it's not like they were saying like, you're not Ukrainian anymore. Or what? Not Ukrainian. That's so bigoted of me. Wow. What is she? Russian. Lithuanian.
Latvian.
Latvian. Goodness yeah. gracious. How long have I known you guys? Jeez.
Oh, 8 years. No big deal.
No big deal. But it's not like they were saying like, you must forget everything about your culture because now you're Canadian. But they're like, hey, learn a little bit about what Canada's like.
Yeah, it's wild. It's getting better. And I don't even disagree. Like for my mother-in-law, they made her divorce her husband. She was separated from him for 25 years. They made her get a legal divorce. Stuff like
before
that.
Before she could become a citizen.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Hmm. Yeah.
Were so they worried that she was just going to like
bring him in? Oh, and by the way, I have a husband.
Oh, and now he's in too.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Kind of interesting.
So they do go through that and... Yeah, pretty pretty invasive medical testing and physical testing, and it's not terrible. Yeah,
it's not terrible because you didn't have to do it.
No, they did. Yeah, no, but yeah, for my mother-in-law, like she can't receive any government benefits for 20 years, so it's all reliant. Oh, wow. I had to sign off that I'm going to be financially responsible for her for 20 years.
Huh?
Yeah, even as a Canadian now, she's a Canadian.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting. Well,
well, there we go. We solved it.
Yeah.
Let's lock those borders up. That's what you said, right?
What?
What? Wait, what? What? I'm misrepresenting you.
I'm going to have to talk to you privately.
Yeah. Can we turn this off and talk? But yeah, hopefully that's been interesting or helpful as you kind of think through some of those. I don't know. These are complex things, right? They're not like necessarily black and white answers, but I think it's good for Christians to... I don't know, mentally process, okay, how do we behave in these situations or how do we act or respond? And so I think that's good. So episode 167, we still got lots of questions to go through. So we'll be recording for several weeks.
Whoop, whoop.
Yep. Thanks for listening and we'll talk to you next time. Oh, by the way, the rapture has been updated October 6th and 7th.
I heard.
See you later.
Bye.